I'm Alex Bloomberg, host of the podcast Startup, and you're listening to We Are LA Tech.
Living in a box.
I don't think
Think outside the box. Don't go outside your box. That's my advice to entrepreneurs.
Welcome back to the We Are LA Tech podcast. We have our next LA startup spotlight. This company is awesome. I've known about them for years, but I actually only got to utilize them in the past few weeks, and I was blown away and begged the founder to be on the podcast because I'm like, this is amazing. Such a solution. Startup called Buddy Truck. I will let Brian tell you more. Hi, Brian.
Hey, how's it going? Thanks for having me.
Yeah, of course. Go ahead, introduce yourself. Tell us about Buddy Truck.
Yeah, my name is Brian Foley. I'm the founder and CEO of Buddy Truck. Buddy Truck's a mobile app that will connect you with a buddy with a truck straight from your phone. Think Uber for trucks.
Exactly. So it was about 7 o'clock at night and someone was buying a couch from me and they messaged me, or maybe it was a little later even. Maybe it was 8 o'clock at night, something late, right? After hours. And they messaged me late and they say, I just got to, U-Haul, and they won't give me a truck because you have to return. I don't know what the deal was. It was a stranger I didn't know off of Craigslist kind of thing. And they're like, do you know what to do? And I'm like, me? Like, there's this app called Buddy Truck, and I didn't even remember exactly what you guys did. And so I get to my house. I was like commuting home, in order to meet this girl for the couch. And there's this truck there, and I'm like, oh, where'd you end up finding it? Totally not thinking she used I didn't even include the URL. I just wrote like Buddy Truck in the message. And she's like, it was so easy. I just I used the app you told me about. I'm like, that's amazing. And then I emailed you, I think, that night.
That's amazing.
Yeah,
it was. I love hearing stories like that.
And the guy that was there was so nice, like, and just like really great customer experience. Because I didn't know, I thought the guy and all the people there were all her friends. Like, I didn't know that was also the Buddy Truck guy helping move the thing downstairs. Like, that was pretty cool. So, yeah, I mean, is that a normal
thing?
They're
ultra talented, yeah.
Is it like they help you move the thing too? Or was he doing something special?
No, they're there to help. They're a buddy and a truck.
I mean, it is so cool. So how did you come up with this idea? And how much is something like that? Like what I didn't even ask. How much was that she did approximately?
Yeah, well, we're $1 a minute and $1 a mile. So it does depend on how long it went and how far across the city she went. LA is a pretty big city. So,
right. You
know, the difference between moving a couch from Santa Monica to Venice and Santa Monica to the Valley is highly discrepant.
Right.
But if she's on the west side, it was probably $30-$40.
Yeah, I mean, it was crazy. So yeah, how'd you come up with this idea?
So I actually ended up crashing a U-Haul.
That sounds expensive.
It was expensive. Yeah, so I had found a room for rent in a 4-bedroom house on Craigslist, of all places. They seem to be a common theme here. And I exchanged some email with the owners, and I was the person for the job, never met the people I was moving into the house with, and ended up renting a 14-foot U-Haul for one item that could have easily fit into the bed of a truck. And I'm not qualified to drive this thing, obviously. I'm pulling up to the front of the house, and I'm trying to parallel park the U-Haul, and long story short, I get stuck on the bumper of the car behind me, end up ripping the entire front of the car off, and it was my new roommate's car.
No.
Who I'd never met.
Was he cool?
Yeah, she was super cool. She felt more bad for me than I felt, but it was a very awkward first impression, and the insurance that I bought on the U-Haul only covered the U-Haul, not the car, so it ended up being very expensive.
What do you do within your company? Like, I know your role is founder and CEO, but like, you know, like I always say in We Are LA Tech, I'm the communications director because that's like what I'm communicating, you know? So what is it that is your core competency within your company?
Yeah, I would say there's a few things that most CEOs do that I do that are pretty normal, right? Fundraising, financial modeling, strategy, and all that other kind of stuff. But, you know, we changed all of our titles to end in Buddy. So I'm actually the chief executive buddy at Buddy Truck. And I kind of am the role model for how to treat people at the company. I think that's my prime role. Our goal is to treat everybody like a buddy, whether it's how our buddies treat users, how we treat our drivers, how we interact with our partners. And I kind of set the tone. So I take that role very seriously. And that's my prime job is to be everyone's friend.
I could see that. One, I saw it in the guy that helped us. I didn't even know he was a buddy drug guy because it felt like one of the girl's friends. And then I actually felt it this morning, like in this interview. I've never had anyone more interested in who I am in the office than you. I'm like, wow, like really getting to know me. Like,
you have to.
It felt like so genuine and sincere. I was just like, this is cool. This guy really takes time to get to know who he's talking to. So yeah, you're really good at being a buddy.
Thank you. Lots of practice.
Well, are you from LA?
No, I'm from Texas.
So when did you move to Los Angeles?
I came to LA 8 years ago for college. I went to Pepperdine and never left.
Oh, cool. I actually spent some time in Malibu. Pepperdine's gorgeous. So where in LA is Buddy Truck based?
Yeah, so Buddy Truck's based in downtown Santa Monica, but you could get a buddy anywhere from as north as Thousand Oaks and as east as Pasadena, all the way down to San Clemente and Orange County. We've kind of taken over this SoCal bubble.
That's awesome. And if I remember correctly, you're in other cities now too.
Yeah, we're in Austin, Texas.
Amazing.
Home sweet home.
South by.
Yeah.
Great. I'm going to be there. Yeah.
Yeah. Oh my goodness. Such a good spot. Go to Lambert's. And then, we're in Chicago as well.
So cool. And how long, when were you guys founded?
We were founded in 2013 and we went live August 2014.
Because I met you at that LA Tech Mixer. I can't think of his name right now. Do you remember? It was by the beach. Like, I think at the Viceroy or something, and you guys were doing like a pitch. It was like, I think it was in 2013. You guys are relatively new. And so it's really exciting for me to see like these guys, like maybe what'd you have, like a truck at the time or something?
Yeah, we were the first buddies. Yeah.
So how do you go from, how many employees or even like part truck guys do you have now?
Yeah, so we have 3,500 buddies.
What? That sounds a lot of humans.
It is.
So how do you go from when I met you to 3,500 human beings that you have to watch over?
I think you go one buddy at a time. You try and build relationships and treat people well, and that message spreads throughout your user base, throughout your, you know, driver base, throughout your partner base, throughout your investor base, throughout your employee base. And that's a step that often gets overlooked in the quest for revenue growth and other things. So I think that's kind of why we've stuck around even during this time of, you know, low venture funding and other things. We've been a self-sustaining, profitable business for almost a year now.
So did you raise money at one point?
We did, yeah, but we haven't raised money for over a year. But when we were fundraising, we raised a little over $1 million.
Congratulations.
Thank you. We've made more than that in revenue.
Congratulations. I was just about to say, it's funny because obviously raising money is not an easy thing to do, but most people see it as an accolade. And in a way of how difficult it is to do, I definitely think it's an accolade, but it's not a sign of a successful company, so to speak, because the company needs to sustain itself to be successful. The investment money is simply like a tool to get you there. And I think that's what especially new entrepreneurs forget. They're like, we raised, we won, drop the mic. You know,
it's totally
like, the work has just begun at that point. It began way before, and now it's like reborn.
I completely agree. I couldn't agree with you more on this stance. I think most people, when they close a big round, feel like they've won the game, or in fact, raising money just allows you to play in the game. There's plenty of companies who've raised tens of million. Even HomeJoy has raised over $100 million who end up failing.
Yeah.
So yeah, it's definitely not a sign of success, but there are positives, I would say. If you can raise money, number one, it shows that you can sustain your business through tough times. You can grow whenever you don't have the internal capital to grow. And not only that, you're validating your market from people who are really intelligent financially in that space. So there are positives and there are reasons to chant and all that. But at the end of the day, the return on investment, not the investment, is how you, in my opinion, grade a company.
100,000%. I'm so glad we talked about that a little bit. Who was your first hire?
Our first hire outside of the founders was actually a marketer blogger we had. We wanted to do a little campaign before launch to kind of be at the top of SEO rankings for certain things whenever we did go live. That was our initial strategy. Of course, that strategy failed miserably, but that's just part of the startup game. I guess you learn and pivot.
And then how about the hire right after that?
then it was tech. We hired some tech guys. We hired a CTO. And then after that, we hired some front-end developers and some back-end developers. And it was time to build a product.
And what would you say? I'm really curious about this because I think the business that you've built is really difficult. It just seems like there's a lot of literally moving pieces. What would you say has been one of the most challenging things that you weren't necessarily prepared for that you had to quickly become an expert in?
I would say the toughest thing about our business, and this is perhaps speaking to every entrepreneur ever, is the fact that we built a product for a market that we no longer actively market in. You know, we built a product to be a moving service. And although we still do a lot of moves and Craigslist stuff, mainly we are now like a last mile logistics company for furniture stores, right? So Esprit may use Buddy Truck once or twice a year, but West Elm, Crate and Barrel use it 3, 4, 5, 10 times a day. So it's interesting that, you know, we did all this market research and industry research and competitive analysis for the moving industry beforehand, and we ended up disrupting a different industry, last mile logistics, in the end. So just becoming an expert in that space and an expert in all the industries that you're not. You know, we are a last mile logistics company, in theory, or a software company, but we've become experts in furniture stores. We've become experts in storage. We've become experts in all these auxiliary services where we help our partners. One of the things you find whenever you put your partners first, you end up hopefully learning more about their business than they do. Or they know, which is a tough feat, and I'd be lying if I said we're very good at it, but that's the hardest part in the space.
First of all, I had no idea, so that's really, really fascinating to me. It reminds me of, like, know who your audience is, know who can afford you. Like, if your customer can only afford $10 versus a customer that can afford $100, doesn't change the value of what you're selling. It's just a simple matter that one person can only afford 10. So you need, the value of your product is $50, you need to go to the person that can afford $100. And it sounds like that's what furniture stores, they can afford more.
Yeah, so you bring up an excellent point, and I didn't even go into pricing, but you are kind of judged monetarily on your competitors. And so when you're competing against U-Haul for a peer-to-peer move, you're competing with $29, whereas when you're competing with furniture store delivery, where prices generally start at $150, you end up going from being a luxurious premium option to a low-cost affordable option when your price point didn't change at all.
Yeah, it's so cool. I'm really, really curious how you scaled to other cities. That just sounds really scary. And you're here in Los Angeles. So do you hire like a city manager? How does that work?
You do. Yeah. So there's a few ways. Scaling is more an art than a science. What we did is we had a launch team go to new cities and kind of get the supply side first. What we found is that if you can't fulfill deliveries, it doesn't matter how many people know about the service. If nobody picks up, then your service kind of dies right away. So that's always step one. And then step two is going in with a partner. When we opened up Chicago, we went in with a very big partnership with Value City Furniture, who has dozens of locations across the greater Chicago area. So we were actually able to meet our expected cost with expected revenue right out the gates from day one with that partnership. So I think that was a smarter scaling strategy and a less risky scaling strategy than say how an Uber or Lyft goes to a new city and throws big launch parties and puts a lot of money into PPC and Facebook ads. But when you have the right partner, it makes scaling more of a financial decision. Okay, let's weigh the numbers against each other versus a scary decision.
I love it. How you're building Buddy Truck sounds very European to me. Like like in Europe, it's if you don't succeed, it's not fail fast and whatever that silly term that we have here is. It's if you fail, you're shunned from the community. It's you're done for. And because of that, European entrepreneurs need to make very practical business decisions that genuinely grow the company. They don't have the kind of credit lines and funding opportunities as accessible as we have here. And so it sounds like you've decided to grow Buddy Truck just in that way, in a very practical, like, you know, 2 + 2 needs to equal 4. It can't maybe equal 4 one day. Like, it has to equal 4 in order to grow in a sustainable manner and to keep this company profitable. And so, yeah, I love it. I really admire it. Why did you decide to start Buddy Truck in LA and not Austin or Chicago or another startup city?
That's a great question. I'd say number one, I was from here. I lived in LA. Most of the people I knew were in LA. And I think whenever you start a business of any kind, your business is nothing more than a reflection of you. Your business is yourself, and the way you brand yourself is the way your business is going to ultimately come across, right? Like, I've always tried to brand myself as everyone's best bud, and by no accident, our company is called Buddy Truck and not, you know, Freight Shippers Incorporated, whatever that may be. And so my personal audience was here, and I felt like if I could sell to my personal audience, that would be kind of the first step in proving that we actually had a viable product here. And also, you know, it's interesting when you become more comfortable with people, to your point earlier, they become more honest with you, whether that's positive or negative. And so we got a lot of feedback from friends and family members and others, both good and bad, when we first started, that I don't think we would have gotten if we would have started somewhere else. So I'm glad we started here.
I'm really curious, when you first started, what was your vision then? Like in 2013, what did you think would become a Buddy Truck, and in how long?
Oh yeah, my vision was to destroy U-Haul. I was just so upset internally about my bad U-Haul experience. And I actually thought normal civilians shouldn't have the right to drive such large vehicles. And so we wanted to be like the peer-to-peer movers of the U.S. I thought, hey, you know, personally speaking, I was a college student asking friends for help, and none of my friends who had trucks could or did want to help that day. So I wanted to pay for a service where I would get that same experience, a buddy with a truck just helping me out like a friend would do. And that was our initial vision. To a large extent, we still do that, but we do other things as well.
How has LA helped accelerate your growth? How has being here, the LA tech community specifically, helped accelerate you moving forward?
So there are a few things that LA does very, very well. And I think number one is branding, right? Like, I don't know if it's because of Hollywood or because of all the influencers we have who are Instagram models or Snapchat models, but I feel like people in this city are very, very good at branding, almost to an extent where LA has this kind of persona as being fake because people are branded so well that
right.
that it comes off non-genuine.
Right.
That'd be the negative side of branding. But the positive side is that the branding talent and the marketing talent in this city, I think, is unmatched.
Right.
And so when you have a product, if you have a good product team or a good technical product, the next thing you want to be able to do is sell it or market that product or brand that product. And I think the talent here for those specific skills are unmatched.
That is awesome. I'm curious, did you raise money from investors in Los Angeles or outside of Los Angeles?
Just like anything else, like, we started with our personal network. So our first round was friends and family. A lot of them were here in Los Angeles. A lot of them were back in Texas. The next round, our kind of first angel round, so to speak, from stranger money, was from people in Los Angeles and people in Miami, actually, of all places.
That I did not expect.
And now we have people on our cap table from New York City, from San Francisco, from Columbus, Ohio, kind of all over the board.
Oh, cool. Well, that is completely an answer I did not expect you to have. Everybody always says, Matt, I thought it was either going to be, of course, Silicon Valley or LA. I didn't know it was going to be so eclectic. And what resources in LA do you recommend, in LA tech specifically?
From a fundraising perspective, you know, in hindsight, fundraising is a lot easier if you go through a incubator and accelerator. And there's some really good ones here with Science Labs and Amplify and et cetera. Of course, I'm always, always, always going to push getting LA marketing and branding talent. I think marketing firms, advertising agencies, PR firms, LA is second to none in those spaces. Even before LA tech was a thing, a lot of Silicon Valley startups were using LA marketing firms to promote their product, all the way back to Uber and others, just because the talent here is so well. And I think there's also a lot of budding tech talent coming out of this city. Wheeze Labs is a prime example of that.
Can you spell that?
Wheeze Labs is WEEZLABS.
And what do they do exactly?
They're a outsourced dev firm. They're located right on Lincoln and Pico. Some good buddies of mine run that company. I think they have about 200 developers here in Los Angeles, and they're world class. So.
And we'll include it in the show notes as well. Do you have different PR branding agencies or people that you would recommend?
I personally worked with CJ Johnson forever, when CJ Johnson was at his big firm, to when CJ Johnson was private, to now he runs Janelle and Johnson, his own firm. So I've been with him through and through, and I think he is a world class personal and brand brander.
What kind of deliverables would you expect from CJ? Like, if somebody were to hire CJ tomorrow, what kind of results can they expect? Because I find that a lot of times PR agencies say they'll deliver a lot.
Totally.
And then nothing. And then they're like, oops, sorry. Yeah.
Yeah. No, that is a great point. And from PR specifically, I still think no matter who your PR firm is, even if you have the best one, the founder's always going to be the best PR resource for always.
Okay.
There's so many times where CJ or whoever would reach out to TechCrunch or reach out to Business Insider and get no response. And then I'd reach out and they'd want to talk to the founders. I think inherently, maybe that is part of every founder's obligation is to do PR. But for CJ, which I really appreciated being such a numbers, right-brained, analytical, practical founder, CJ gave me tangible numbers that we're going to hit. We're going to grow by this many followers every month. We're going to see our social following grow by X percentage every month, or I don't get my full commission. When we first started, we had something where CJ was paid in tiers depending on how well he performed. And he performed so well that we ended up paying him a lot more. But like I said, he's very logical and very numbers driven. So
that's awesome.
For a founder who's very right-brained, analytical, or an engineering background, they'd really appreciate that from the creative side of business that tends to be a lot less data-driven.
And we have thousands of people listening to every episode. And, you know, they're everyone from someone starting out to someone who's had companies acquired. Now, you've gone through a lot of processes yourself where you've started out just brand new and you've raised money and all that. So is CJ someone that's affordable to someone new starting out, or is it only for those people who are already a little bit seasoned in their companies?
Yeah, I would say with CJ, he buys in more to the idea than the paycheck. CJ interviewed me before I interviewed him.
This guy sounds amazing. I'm like, I'm dying to like meet him now.
he's a good guy. I'll connect you. But yeah, I've seen him work for large companies with large retainers. I've seen him work for small companies for equity. He really does buy into the idea first. I think he's one of those people who is more driven by like what he leaves this earth accomplishing than how big his savings account is.
I don't know if I'm just naive, but I've never heard of someone in the branding / PR space that has this level of integrity. It's awesome. So you guys, and we'll include more information on him in the show notes as well. So you guys can check him out and see if he's someone that you'd like to work with. Now you've been in this game, Brian, for a while in LA. So what is an event that is a must attend? Is there one that you're like, that, you know, that particular one was really worth my time and created a lot of ROI for me?
Yeah, I mean, I go to all the Silicon Beach Fest events. Kevin's a good friend.
Kevin Winston from Digital LA and Silicon Beach Fest, yeah.
That's a good one. I actually don't go to many tech events. And I don't not go because I hate tech people or because I think it's a waste of time, but because my specific job is to grow my business. So we're going to a lot of storage events. We're going to a lot of interior designer events. We hang out a lot with the House guys and the Pacific Design Center whenever they throw events, because that's our audience.
One of my favorite marketing people in the whole world, I'm like spacing right now, his last name's Harmon, and he used to be the CMO of a company called Aurabrush. Do you happen to remember the tongue cleaner company Aurabrush? They like pretty much utilized YouTube to go from zero sales to over a million sales in a year. And it was amazing. The best thing that I learned from him was he said, I don't understand why marketing people hang out with other marketing people. Like, go to where your audience is. And
right.
I just never forgot that. Like, what do you sell? And then go to where your audience is hanging out and get to know your audience. And so that's what you're saying is like, you go probably to the furniture expos and stuff
exactly.
like that.
Exactly. Yep.
So what LA tech company or talent have you come across lately who have really impressed you?
I love Wheeze Labs. I didn't shout them out on accident. I love Janelle and Johnson. I love what CJ's doing. I love a new company that he's working with called Bash Bros. It was started by An original co-founder, Buddy Truck, Russell Tuckman, he's killing it.
What do they do?
They are going to be the, how would I say it, like the event handling hotels.com. I'm a very bad pitcher for his business, but it'd be like the hotels.com for an event. They're going to disrupt Eventbrite. And I think they've got a very good CRM backend that is going to almost compete with Salesforce as far as functionality, but so someone can get their catering, all that other kind of stuff all in one app. It'd be like, think about if planning your wedding was so easy that you could do it right from your phone versus spending 18 months preparing for it.
Planning a wedding from your phone?
Yeah, it's.
I like can't even get past
that. The vision is huge. It's daring, which is why I like it. But it really is that simple, and it saves people a lot of time. And I like anything that saves time.
And what's the URL?
They are bashpros.com, like you're throwing a bash, and then pros, P-R-O-S.
Perfect. Awesome. So you guys, and we'll also include that in the show notes so you could easily access that site. If you had one ask of the community, something that they could do to support you in your growth moving Buddy Truck forward, what would that ask be?
My ask would just be to treat every person you meet like they're your best friend. From a selfish perspective, number one, you'll be surprised how well people treat you when you treat people well. And number two, from an entire community perspective, I think not just you and that person, but the community at large benefits whenever we treat each other like friends instead of foes or friends instead of strangers. I really right. don't like the word stranger. I don't like to treat anybody like a stranger. I think humans are humans. From a right-brained, like logical perspective, every human, whether it's a 18-year-old female and a 60-year-old male, share 99% of the same DNA, same genetical code. We are a lot more alike as individuals than we are different. So the best thing you can do to support Buddy Truck is just to be a buddy wherever you go.
I love it. I mean, I really resonate. I mean, just I'm telling you, from when you came in here, I'm like, man, this guy takes way more of an interest. Like, it's so rad than like most people I come across. This is good. Now, like having this interview, I see why it's part of your core values. And yeah, it shows bright. How can people connect with you?
Yeah, you can connect with me on any social channel. Follow me at Brian Michael F on Instagram, Snapchat, or Twitter. You can find me on Facebook, Brian Foley, or go to brianmichaelfoley.com.
Awesome. Thank you so much for being on the We Are LA Tech podcast.
Thanks for having me.
I was ridiculously excited by this interview because, as I'm sure you guys experience a lot, when you have that personal connection with something, you just want to explore it more. Like, how was this random thing in the world such a positive impact in my life? And so this has been great having you on. You guys, I absolutely adore you. I will continue to bring the most amazing founders, investors, engineers, talent happening in LA Tech to you every single day on the We Are LA Tech podcast. If you want to connect with more people in a digital way, go to wearelatech.com/VIP. That's wearelatech.com/VIP for the We Are LA Tech private chat, where there's so many people being so collaborative and supportive. I logged in the other day and people were helping with like other people's programming questions, which I thought was cool. That, I mean, it costs a lot to hire a developer, so that everybody's just so supportive about helping people with their programming challenges. Another person hired their developer there. I saw someone that got a marketing job on there. I'm like, yes, it's working. So definitely check that out. And of course, you can always connect with me at Esprit Devora on Twitter or at We Are LA Tech. You guys, I will talk to you guys, hear you guys, see you guys in the next episode. Bye. Huge shout out and thank you to Betalist. Betalist is amazing. I've used Betalist for my past startups. Betalist gains you early traction to your startup while it's still in beta. Go to betalist.com/wearelatech. That's betalist.com/wearelatech. Thank you for powering the We Are LA Tech podcast. To get text alerts when new episodes come out, text 310-872-2423. That's 310-872-2423. We Are LA Tech, hosted by Esprit Devora, has been a WeAreTech.fm production.